that video on. Yeah, is there a way to dim the lights at all? I don't know how we. Amen. That's it, right? Okay. I want to, you know, I met Ernie when I was an associate pastor at a New Life Assembly of God church. And I remember thinking, when we would have him in, I thought, you know, if I ever have a church, he's one of the guys that I'm going to bring in. And we've been doing that ever since we were in our old building. But Ernie, Carol, thank you so much for making us part of your trip. And come and please share whatever God puts on your heart. I'm going to let you sit, and then I'll set up the mic for you.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Probably want that a little lower, huh?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, could I get a pizza? And
you can have whatever you want.
No, we'll wait. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be here with all of you this morning. As he said, I'm Ernie of Carol and Ernie. And that's my wife sitting right there. We are pleased to be here. You know, Dave and Mindy are, I just got to say, we have known them forever, like he said. Right after creation, we've met. And that's the way it feels. But you know what? It's like Henry David Thoreau said that friendship is a long conversation. And we go and we don't see them for a while, and then we come back and we sit down. And we don't just sit down and, you know, horseplay and all that. We actually just share and talk about the Lord and talk about family. And it's just like now we're up to speed. You know, now we know what's happening, you know, what God is doing. And the same that we feel about many of you that we've known over the years. God has blessed us with this privilege of being here. Thank you, Dave. You guys have been tremendous friends, and we appreciate it. As you saw from the video, we do have a kind of extensive ministry of traveling. We made a commitment many years ago when we were pastoring. God told me, I was walking down the hallway of the church where I pastored, and God just spoke to my heart and says, you're done here. And it's not something you want to hear when you're having a lot of fun in the church where you are. But after that, God said, I just want you to go through the doors that I open. And we've tried to do that over the past 22 years, just wherever God would open the door. And in that, we've gone into Central America. We've gone to Alaska numerous times. We've gone into Europe so many times we cannot count them. But each time we go, it's because a door has opened before us. We were in Africa. And I got to share this real quick. It wasn't on the video, but I'm going to share this, and then we'll jump right into it. We were ministering in Africa. You guys helped us get down there, really, honestly. We were down there for about three or four weeks. But the third or fourth service that we were in a little church. It was a tent is what it was. And it only seated 100 people, but they had crowded over 500 people. It's out there in the bush, out there in Botswana, out in what they call the bush. And these people had come from all the areas and filled up the tent because they were having this great services. And I got up to speak. And as I was speaking, and I share this with you as honestly as I can, I'm speaking. And then after I finished speaking, we invited people to come forward. And we had a time of worship around the altar. And they loved doing that. And I love being involved in it. But as we were doing it, I kept getting the feeling that there were people standing. The stage was about one-third of what you have up here, just a tiny little stage made up of planks and chairs and things like that, elevated enough for people to see it. But short story here, long story short, I kept feeling there's people behind me. There's somebody behind me. And there was nothing but the worship team. There were about four or five of them, but, you know, worship team, they don't really count. They're just kind of like, they're always there, you know. But no, I'm kidding. But anyway, I got this feeling that there was a crowd of people packing the area behind me, and I kept doing that, but I couldn't see anything. And so finally, you know, went home, and it just kept. What am I feeling here? And about midnight, I'm just laying in bed there back at the mission compound, and as I'm laying there, I was thinking, what in the world was that? What was I feeling there? And the Lord just spoke to me the same way I'm speaking to you, and He said, what you felt behind you were the numerous people who sent you here. They were standing behind you. It just about knocked me over, and I was laying down at the time. But it was just, you guys, when you send missionaries out, and we're not full-time missionaries, we're evangelists and missionaries, but when you send somebody out, it's as if you go with them, and you stand behind them, and they minister in places. In some places you'll never be able to go, and I'll never be able to go. They go. So thank you, guys. Where we work in Latvia, we train young men and women to prepare them for ministry in what I believe is the next battleground, the Baltic states. They're in the scope of Russia, just like the Ukraine. And I believe that we're preparing them for what's about to happen to them. But in doing so, we've had the privilege of seeing many God-inspired ministries rise up from that little Bible college, just a little guy, but God has done some incredible things there. And then just a few weeks ago, we were in Alaska in the depth of winter. We went up there during what they call the rendezvous, when the tribes all come into Anchorage. We had the opportunity to minister in several churches and and minister into several of the people, the pastors that were there. It's been great. God has been gracious, but it is always, as always, open doors for us, so we appreciate you. Thank you. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you. You guys, Dave and Mickey, and all these other guys, Lord, all these people who just absolutely have no idea, and I'm not saying that in a bad way, but they have no idea what a blessing they have been. And I pray, Father God, that you would enlarge them, not just to be a blessing, but to have hunger and vision for a world that is absolutely in need. And thank you for them, and thank you for their pastors' hearts, and thank you for the people here who stand up and take on the mantle of challenge. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. By the way, one last thing, just a little hack. I learned this from a pastor one time. Those little cards that you have to get out, I tell you how you can give out hundreds of them. You know how you do it? You get a paper clip. You clip a $100 bill to it, and then you will have people standing in line to get those little cards from you. So just thought I'd be helpful, you know, if you could. If you have your Bibles this morning, you want to turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Third chapter of 1 John, beginning with verse 1. I'm going to talk to you about what manner of love. This is a very powerful message, but it will not take long to deliver. Turn to your neighbor and say, yeah, right. Yeah, we'll believe that. Okay, but listen carefully. Behold, John is writing to the young church, and he says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. And out of the NIV, if you're using the NIV, your version said, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. Now, just to get you rolling in the right direction, this is a powerful verse. It is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. I'll tell you why in just a moment. But if you were to dive deeply beneath into the old language in which the Bible was written, you would find that what John is saying there is kind of interesting. The word that he's using, the terminology that he's using in that verse, sounds like this in their ears. This kind of love, which is an alien love, a love that is not of this world, this kind of love that God is dumping on us is not a love that you find in the world. It is a supernatural love. It's a love that is so powerful, so majestic, and so all-inclusive that it's not something that can come from this earth. And that's exactly what he's saying. Several years ago, I was talking to a man who he went to our church. We were pastoring in Yakima, and he went to our church, and he and I were talking, and he said to me something, and this man had been a professor of biblical languages. He had been a Greek scholar in many universities, a Latin scholar in many universities, and so he knew a lot of stuff, okay? In fact, this guy knew so much, and his brain so big, it pushed all the hair right out of the top of his head. I mean, but he knew a lot about everything when it came to the scriptures. And he had taught this and led dozens and hundreds of young people to the ministry. But you know what he said to me? He said, the most important thing in all the Bible is that simple term, the love of God. Because it overwhelms, it conquers the world. It does everything. Everything else bows at the feet of this statement, the love of God. So just for the next few moments, I want to talk to you about the love of God, because this is a powerful, supernatural love. It is not a love like you and I might be able to muster. You know, how many love their days off? Raise your hand. It's okay. It's all right. Nobody's looking. Okay, how many love their dog? Amen. You love your dog, okay? Or you love your family, okay? Or you love that new Mustang you're driving. You know, it's just, praise God. But you know, and you say that, and it just comes right out. But the word that you're using there, you want it to be a strong word. You want it to kind of carry with it the force of how much you are affectionate of. But this love that God has is so powerful that it has the potential to change every human being on the face of the planet. But the thing that's so diverse, so powerful about this love is that it is a love, and it comes out of God. It comes from Him for us. It's a love that seeks us. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. And I'm going to read this slowly because I want you to hear this, okay? In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. Into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love demonstrated, or in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son. And I'm going to comma there, pause there. He sent His Son. When we talk about this supernatural love of God, which is the most powerful thing in all the universe, it is the most powerful force in the universe. They talk about the force of the atom. They talk about the force of nature. But this force, which is a manifestation of God Himself, is so powerful that it came looking for us. Now, if you're sitting here today or you're watching online and you're a believer, it's kind of like, okay, I'm cool with that. But before you knew God, before you surrendered your life to Him, before you bowed your knee and confessed Him as Savior, and you are sitting here, your ticket is stamped to heaven, and you're ready to go. But before you even knew that you needed God's love, He was looking for you. He was looking for you. His love was searching the most depraved, the most horrendous places to find you. His love was so great. A friend of mine who is now a great man of God, he said, Ernie, when I think about where God found me, He found me, and I think about the places that He followed me into before I surrendered my life to Him. He said there were the bars, and there were the places where I shot up with the drugs. He says, and there were those horrible places that I would, and I look at it and I say, how could you possibly have kept seeking me, kept going after me? Your love is righteous and great, yet you kept coming for me. You kept coming for me. Even before I went through the church doors, you were coming for me. This love, this supernatural love, this love that only God can manifest, came looking for you. You didn't become a believer by accident. Now I pause here for just a moment, and I ask this question. How many are church babies here? How many were raised in church? Let me see a show of hands. Can we do that? Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. My wife, I, to some extent, we're all church babies. We were raised in church, okay, but that didn't help a bit, because my heart was still sinful and full of rebellion against God. But He was looking for me. He was looking for me in the pew. He was looking for some of you in places we won't even discuss. His love is so powerful that He just keeps coming right after you. He just keeps coming. And this is the amazing thing, is that while we don't even know, before we even know that He exists, before we even care that there's a God out there in the universe, and we only use His word and His name to curse people, God was looking for you. God was looking for you. And then He found you. This is a love that seeks us. Verse 9, Luke chapter 19, verse 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 19. He came to seek and to save what was lost. He came to seek and to save. And you were lost. And I was lost. And because of our rebellious heart, in fact, someone has said, and this is so true, and you can write this one down. Someone has said that the love of God is the most powerful thing in the universe. And the only thing that defies it is the rebellious human heart. All creation bows before the majesty of God. All the stars and planets and creatures, wherever they may be, they all acknowledge their creator. But you and I, in our hearts, can resist him to the very point of being separated from him for eternity. He came looking for you. Some time ago, a well-known author died, some of you know who Dr. Dennis Bennett was. His son was writing that he died, and in this death experience, he saw himself standing at the throne of God, and he said he was standing at the very bottom of the steps of the throne of God, and he saw millions of people just bowing at the, and he saw the throne of God. But he said the thing that caught his imagination, behind the line of where the believers were praying, there were angels. As far as you can see, angels all around. But he said they were doing something, and he didn't understand. He said they were leaning in. Some of them were leaning in, listening to the prayers of the saints. And he said, so he asked God later when he was back, he said, Lord, what was that all about? And God just spoke to his heart and says, angels can never understand what it feels like to be found. They marvel at the grace of God in you. Majestic angels, if he were showing up right now, we'd go, whoa. But he would say to you, I've never experienced the redeeming love of Jesus like you have. That is the most powerful thing in all the universe. There's a God who came looking for you. He came looking for you. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and then we'll move on. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And while we were still sinners, God, Christ, died for us. Right now, all across this city, the Holy Spirit is working, convicting, waiting, so that the power of God can enter into the heart and life, because God is seeking. His love is a love that seeks us. And then there's something else about this. If you have your Bibles, and I'm sure you do, I can see them in your lap. Okay, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. By this, verse 3, 16, 1 John, we know love because Jesus, or he, laid down his life for us. Now, this isn't a love that just comes looking for us, but it's a love that will save us. Can you say amen to that? Now, you're going to get a better amen than that right now. Come on. Let me tell you why. You ready? Because a billion years from today, when you're standing before the throne of God and you look up and see his face, it will all be because, say it with me, Christ died for me. I'll be there, and I'll see you over there, and I'll look across, and I'll see all the people who have been redeemed, and it'll only be because of one thing. Jesus Christ saved me. Now can I get an amen?
Amen.
Isn't that powerful? My eternity has been, it has been determined by God. You can walk up to anybody and say, how'd you get here? You know, somebody was saying to me the other day, when I get to heaven, I'm going to dance about, shout, you know, jump up and down. I think that what I'm going to do So I'm going to stand in the throne presence of God, and I'm going to say to myself, How in the world did you get here? Ernie, how did you get here? But he saved me. He seeks me, and he saves me. And you know, one of the things, and I, just to go briefly through this, I want you to say this with me. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. One day, because of my sin, and because I was incapable of repaying the debt to God that I owe, because of my human sin, Jesus was taken to the cross, and there he became a living sacrifice for me and for you and for all eternity. Because the great supernatural love of God was so great that it works in this remarkably horrible yet powerful moment of redemption. You know, I've always read the story of the thief on the cross. How many remember the thief on the cross? Okay. You know, and in the last moments, just as life is ebbing away and they're drowning in their own blood and they can barely talk, and the weight and gravity is pulling them down and they're dying. The man right next to Jesus, he turns his head, and just beyond his fingertips, just beyond his hand, on another cross, is an innocent man who has done nothing. And the thief, after all the railing and humiliating things he said to Jesus, he looks across there. I can't, if you are God, I can't reach you. My hands are tied. I can't reach you. But he cries out to Jesus on the cross, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me. And Jesus looked over him in a voice that could barely speak, because now he's drowning. His lungs are full of blood and water. And he looks over to the man and he says, today, you will be with me. We can't touch. Our fingers can't reach. And that's the way it is. But today, you will be with me in paradise. Hang on, it gets better. In just a few moments, they both close their eyes and life slips out of them. And the man on the cross, who deserved to die, woke up and he was standing next to Jesus in paradise, the place of the righteous dead. And Jesus puts his arm around, now I think this is what happened. Jesus puts his arm around the thief, and he looks at Father Abraham and says, there'll be two of us. We're coming in on the buddy system. And that's what he did to save you. He saved you. He didn't have to go and wait for you to go to church and clean up your act and start tithing and doing some good stuff, you know, and, you know, doing all the good. You know, that's really cool. He just loved you. He sought you. He saved you. This is powerful stuff. One last verse here before we move on. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, while we were still sinners. Whenever, this coming Good Friday, remember his hand stretched out this way. And just beyond, there's Jesus. I'm still a sinner, Jesus. Christ died for you. Because the powerful, supernatural love of God came looking. And then when he found you, he saved you by an act of sacrificial death that we will never be able to pay back. But there's one more thing that happens, and then we're done. Not only does he seek us And not only does he save us, and he has the power to do that, because your human heart, I mean, right now, all across the city, there are human hearts that are resisting the love of God. And he will not violate their will and make them love him. You know, that's the interesting thing. I remember, Carol and I have been married almost 51 years, okay? But I remember, and I'm just kind of relating this, okay? I remember when I was trying to win her affections. I still don't know if I got that or not, you know. But I'm a young man, and I would bring her gifts and flowers, and I'm trying to win her affection, you know. I was like, and it's interesting how that all works, you know. I heard a guy say the other day, he said he went into the restroom, and he combed his hair, and he washed his hands, and he left the restroom in a mess. You guys don't do that, do you? Anyway, she said that when he came out, she looked at the bathroom, and then she looked at him with a look that said, "We may have to let you go." But he saved us because he loved us. And when he saved us and won us, his affection had to win us over. And he did. There's one last thing that he did, and this is something you can really praise God for. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, and we're almost done. Tap your neighbor and say, "Wake up, we're almost done," okay? We don't want anyone jumping up at the last minute, you know, embarrass you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. "You are of God, little children, and you've overcome them," them being the world, "because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. But we are of God. He who knows God hears us, and he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." And the key in here is we are of God. Say that with me. We are of God. That means we belong to God. And when he reaches out his hand and he heals you, or he drops a financial blessing on you because of your obedience, and he floods your house with blessings, can you say amen? Amen. You don't need any blessings? Okay. Anyway, when he floods your house with blessings, and when he gives you the best children in the world, it's because his love is being bestowed or dumped on you. This is an amazing love lavishing on you. He can't give enough to his children. And we sometimes don't always appreciate that. But in doing so, the Bible says he seals us in his love. He seeks us, he saves us, and then he seals us. And here's how that works, okay, as we're almost done. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians is in the New Testament, Pastor. That's the last part of the Bible. I'm kidding. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth," that was the gospel of your salvation, "and then you believed in him, you were sealed with the promise, Holy Spirit." And the word "sealed" there is a great big Greek word. It's a great big word because it means protected, it means bought, it means paid for, it means belongs to, and you're his. Turn to your neighbor and says, "I belong to God." I'm just dropping some names here this morning. I belong to God. He seals me. He seals me so that the enemies, it may come against me, and they may raise their weapons against me, and they may shake their fists at me, but the love of God seals me in such a way that God is on me, in me, around me, and through me. Because this is impossible to understand love. It's a love that's so deep. I saw a guy one time. I have a friend, and he was in the Coast Guard, and he has gotten several awards for rescuing people. He went into one boat that was near the bottom of the ocean, and he dug through it, And he saved a little girl that was trapped in a boat. And he brought her up to the surface. And everybody applauded and said, you saved her, you saved her. And he did. And they gave him a medal. And it was great. And I always talk to him about that. But you know what's even greater than that? Not that, just that God saved us, but then he puts his protecting arms around us. He puts his arm. You are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Now here comes the good part. You ready? Now hold on to the seat in front of you because this may get a little bit exciting, okay? You're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, a verse we Pentecostals, we love to throw around. But here it comes at you. Here it comes. Ready? Get ready. Because hold up your, you know, hold up your catcher's mitt because here it comes. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses of this power. I love this. I love this. You know, people talk about, oh, well, I felt the presence of the Lord, felt the Holy Spirit moving. But this power is so great that it seals us in the love of God. It defends us from the attacks of the enemy. When the enemy comes up and he's shaking his fists and he's got that nasty, nasty machete in his hand and he says, I'm going to put you down. The promised power of the Holy Spirit so sealing us. But it doesn't just work in offense. He goes out of that and using you through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now, try not to act too excited because I see some of you getting all crazy here, okay? Okay, don't do that because when you walk into the Burger King, we don't want you speaking in tongues in the Burger King, okay? But anyway, when you operate in the gifts of the Spirit as a Spirit-filled, Spirit-sealed believer, you are literally combating Satan in his territory. You are literally robbing his coffers because the power of the Holy Spirit working through you as a believer through the gifts of the Spirit, whether it be a gift of knowledge, whether, as we saw here, a gift that just is an act of healing, you're robbing the enemy of his ability to steal and to hurt. So you're sealed. And in that power that seals you is the Holy Spirit living within you with a power that is resonating and glorious. Like we were talking about this last night at dinner. Then we're done. Turn to your neighbor and say, well, finally. We were talking about this at dinner last night. We have been in meetings where the presence of God was so great, haven't we? It was just like everyone was just transfixed by the awesome presence of God. And then the glory, the Shekinah of the living God, the manifested presence of God, simply begins to move over the people, releasing gifts, releasing beneficial gifts. And finally, people see themselves as God intended you to be. He always intended you to walk in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. You see people walking around in the natural path. That doesn't even count. It's a good thing, but God meant for you to walk in his power and in his authority. You were meant to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. You were equipped as a human being to be able to work in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He gave you hands to lay on people. He gave you a mouth to speak prophetically. He gave you eyes in the inner heart to be able to see things in the Spirit. All of this because you're sealed by his love, by his incredible supernatural love. And when the gifts of the Spirit begin resonating and begin fully operating, we were in a church, and I'll never forget this. The power of God was so great. This was down up in little central Washington, in a little tiny church that probably didn't seat 75 people. And the people were just standing around outside, and they're filling the hallway. They're everywhere. And for 6 weeks, we just came together, and the presence of God just kept coming down, and people walking by on the sidewalk literally would just fall over under the anointing power. Ooh, somebody say, ooh, that's weird right there. No, that's what God intended. That is what God intended. He intended his power to be manifested in such a way that we would literally feel the eternal effects of it. But some people say, well, I just need a little blessing is all. I don't need anything big. And your father looks at you and say, you have no idea what big feels like. Okay? So he seeks us. And he saves us. And he seals us. All because of his great supernatural love. And then we're gonna walk this out right here. Okay, you ready? You ready to listen? Could we with ink the oceans fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill? And every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Those are powerful words, aren't they? When Frederick Laiman wrote his beautiful song, The Love of God, How Sweet and Pure, he included that verse because at the time that he was writing the song, this was in all the newspapers. They had gone into the cell of a man who had been set in a crazy house, forgive me, and they told him he was crazy, and they locked him in this little cell. And when he died, they went in to remove his body. And when they were cleaning out his cell, and he was the only occupant of that cell, he had scratched on the wall these words: "Could we with ink, the ocean fill?" The love of God is supernatural, and it's powerful, and it went looking for you, and it saved you, and it sealed you. And I don't know why God wants us to know that this morning, except maybe he wants you to see a little bit of his character. This is what he looks like. You know, in our house, and then we're done. In our house at home, we have a picture of my mother and father, and we have a picture of Carol's mother and father. It's the respectful thing to do. Amen? How many have a picture like that at home? Okay. Picture of mother, picture of father. It's good. Hold on to that. Treasure that. Those are images that we remember. But the image of your holy heavenly father doesn't need a picture because it's being manifested. Ooh, glory. There's a live wire in here today. Yeah. The picture of God is being manifested in the goodness and the things that he does in the lives of his people on a day-by-day basis. Do you understand what I mean? We don't need a picture of God because we see him in the miracles. We see him in the provision. We see him when the check comes in the mail and we didn't know where the money was coming from. We see him when all of a sudden that healing moment, Rohu Shela, flows through our body because we desperately need a touch from our Heavenly Father. How many have a Heavenly Father like that? So she was standing next to me at the end of the youth service. And I had preached, and the young people had filled the altar, and she was standing there. And I talked about a remarkable father who had two idiot sons. I'm sorry, this is just me. And I'm standing there, and she looked across the piano. I'm standing on one side, she's standing on the other. And she's a middle-aged lady, and lines in her face, and she was at her grocery, you know, she worked at the grocery store, and she had her apron on, and she was standing there. And she said, "That's a good story." It was a story of the father, the prodigal son. She said, "That's a good story." I said, "Yeah, I love that story." And she said, and then she bowed her head and she started to cry. And she said, my dad wasn't like that at all. My dad was mean and he was cruel and he hurt me. She was crying. And I looked over at her and I said, hey, I said, are you a Christian? She said, yeah, about 3 months ago, I got an altar, gave my heart to Jesus. And then I said, you know what? You have a father like this now. You have a father who he's got your picture on his refrigerator, and he's always thinking about you. Father, right now, come on, close your eyes. The Spirit of the Lord is in the house right now. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Spirit of the Lord is in the house. Hallelujah. The manifestation of the love of God is here now. And he wants you to see him. He wants you to see who he is in the things that he does. Lift your hands right now and begin to worship the God who we've been singing about. Go ahead, release your mouth, release your heart right now, and let the glory of the Lord just flow through you. Just acknowledge him. Praise him in ways that only your spiritual man can do. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we worship you. When we stand together, hallelujah, the presence of the Lord is in the house. The glorious presence of the Lord is in the house. Right now, there's a spirit of healing in this house because the Spirit of the Lord is here, because the Father is manifesting himself right now in love and affection. Right now, if you're hurting, I want you to lay your hand on your shoulder, your own shoulder. Lay your hand on your own shoulder, and I want you to say, Daddy, I need a touch of your divine healing power. Right now, say it out loud. Daddy, I need a touch. I need a touch in my legs. I need a touch in my head, a back. My arms, they need a touch from you right now in the name of Jesus right now. Hallelujah. Let's stand together for just a moment. Hallelujah. 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 We're getting all excited, aren't we? How many are getting all excited? Oh, come on, say amen. Oh, that's okay. We're in a golf tournament, so we have to be really quiet. Say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Father, right now, we're standing in your presence. We're standing in your presence. Now listen carefully and let this flow through your spirit. There was an article the other day, and it said the most popular song in all the world at this moment, the most popular song in all the world, written in almost every language of every continent of the world, is this song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Sing it, church. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus. Sing it to him. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Linger just for a moment. You're with your spouse. Take your spouse's hand right now. Husband, grab your wife's hand. Mom, grab the child's hand. Dad, grab your wife's hand. Just hold on for just a moment. The Spirit of the Lord is in the house. He wants to show you a picture of himself. He wants to manifest his self here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just say it together. The Spirit of the Lord is in the house. The healer is in the house. The restorer is walking the aisles. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go ahead and worship for just a moment. Squeeze that hand gently and worship together. Just a moment now, just for a moment longer. Linger there, linger in his presence for a moment longer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go ahead and worship for just a moment. The love of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Open your mouth. Come on, worship out loud for just a moment longer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Father, right now, in the powerful name of Jesus, we bind doubt. We bind Satan, and we bind the doubt, and we bind unbelief in the name of Jesus. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Hallelujah. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, reveal yourself to your people. Manifest yourself. One more time. Manifest yourself to your people. Let's just worship just for a moment longer. Just linger just a bit longer. It's like being on a date and not wanting to leave. You're just so in love, you just don't want to open the door. You don't want to break the presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Right now, somebody has a problem with your right ear. It's been giving you really, you thought, I'm losing my hearing. The Lord is putting his hand on your ear right now. You're going to be healed. You're going to know what it feels like to be healed. You're going to be restored. Someone here hurt your knee, and I know what that feels like, and you're saying, should I have it operated on? And the great physician says to you, wait a minute, let me touch this right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we give you praise. Let's just linger for just a moment. Pastor's going to come back, and he's going to bless you. Oh, the presence of the Lord is here. Amen. Amen, brother. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence. We acknowledge that you are in our midst. And Lord, we just open our hearts. Father, let every resistance, let every barrier just fall away in each one of our lives. Lord, we want to know you in a deeper measure. We want to experience you and release you through our lives to touch other people. Thank you for your grace here today. Thank you for your anointing. Just continue to move on hearts. Father, even throughout the rest of this day, Lord, I just pray that you would just continue to speak, to stir, to do the things that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good. God is good. I know I'm supposed to release you. I just feel like we just need to wait just a little bit more. Is that okay? Lord, we just thank you. Lord, when we come together, it's not in vain. It's not just out of discipline or routine, but we gather in your name, and we acknowledge you in our midst. And we just say, have your way in our lives. Have your way in my life, God. Have your way in every area of my life. I feel like the Lord is saying that I'm going to be establishing rhythms in your lives. And I feel like what he means by that is, well, as a young Christian, I knew that I needed to be in the Word all the time. And so I disciplined myself to do that. But after a season of time, it just became a natural rhythm in my life. You know what I mean? How many brushed your teeth before you came to church today? You know, I do that because I do it. It's just part of a natural rhythm in my life. And see, reading the Word, it's like that. Or spending time in prayer, not just prayer where you're talking to God, but prayer where you're listening. It becomes a rhythm in your life. Natural. Yeah, it might require some discipline to get there, but after a while, it's natural. It's easy. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I feel like God is desiring to do by the power of his Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our lives. He wants to bring you into a greater intimacy with him, where the busyness and the activities and all of the things that you have going on in your life no longer distract you from tuning in and hearing him speak and just learning to flow with him. God is taking us into a greater dimension. He's taking you out of theoretical Christianity into reality. He's taking us out of, making sure we're doing all the things we're supposed to do as Christians into, I'm a son. I'm a daughter. This is just natural. This is easy. This is who I am. This is what God has done in my life. This is who I am now. So, Lord, we just thank you. We just say, have your way in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, you're drawing us into greater intimacy. And Lord, from our hearts, we say, we respond. We respond to that in Jesus' name. I want to release you with a benediction this morning. Some of you are wondering if you were going to get released today. That was meant to be a joke. Are you guys still here? The benediction I want to give you is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. God bless you, saints. Have a wonderful week. Thank you, Ernie.